And now it's time to switch gears. We're closing the book on the Colorado Rockies. We're bringing in a good friend of mine. I've been reading his stuff for a long time on DenverStiffs.com, the premier Denver Nuggets blog. Going in the business, Andrew Feinstein. Andrew, you with us today, buddy?
I'm with you, Nick. We miss you in the blogosphere. It's not the same without you.
Oh, man, I just wish I had the time. You know, I put so much time into the Nug Doctor when I was doing it, and when I had to walk away from it due to time constraints, it really, really kills me sometimes. I wish I could just jump right back in, and really there's nothing stopping me other than, like I said, the time of things. But you and Nate Timmons do a fantastic job on Denver Stiffs. It's a pleasure to have you, Andrew. Let's just jump right into it. Your Denver Nuggets. Put your fingers on the pulse. Tell us what you think. Gloss over everything, and then we're going to dig a little deeper.
That's a broad question. I think the Nuggets had a, you know, obviously the Carmelo thing was a huge distraction for the first 50 games.
Sure.
They had a phenomenal last 30 games after they got onto the other side of the nauseating melodrama. But I think the playoffs were a bit of a reality check.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Nuggets have a lot of good things going for them. What I like in particular is they have youth and they have size.
Okay.
And that's something we couldn't have said for a while. And I'm kind of, I was drooling at the prospect of having Mozgov at center, Nene at the power forward position, and Gallinari at the three spot. But now with Nene opting out, which I thought was very foolish on his part, I don't know if we are going to have said, you know, tall, young lineup. But I do think the Nuggets have some good pieces in place. I do expect them to be back in the playoffs if and when the season begins. I think we are missing some leadership out there.
Well, you mentioned that we have youth. Talk to us a little bit about Kenneth Faried. I got to take a look at this young prospect when he was in town with the NCAA tournament. I'll out myself again. I didn't know much about this cat other than he was just a monster on the boards, but what he showed me at the tournament was he's much more than that. Talk a little bit about Kenneth Faried and where you see him fitting in initially with this team, if and when we do have NBA basketball, and down the road.
Well, I can't pretend to know much about college basketball, as you know, and you know, when we have full-time jobs, we try to keep up with these blogs at the same time.
Sure.
It takes enough time just covering the NBA, but I was at the game when Faried led Morehead State to that upset over Louisville. And what I like about him, and what I've talked to from people that know college basketball, what I've been told is that he's one of the few players drafted in the draft this year that you can plug in on day one. And he's a hustle guy. The comparison I get a lot is Dennis Rodman. They list him at 6'8", 6'9". He's really probably 6'7", because these guys all lie about their height. But Dennis Rodman was only about 6'7".
But he does have dreads.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He does have dreads, so maybe that gives him that extra inch or two.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But what I like about Faried is, my understanding, again, is you plug him in right away, he can give you those boards, he can give you those putbacks, and let's be candid, he's Kenyon Martin insurance. I don't think Kenyon Martin's coming back, so you're going to need somebody who injects some defensive quarterback-type and rebounding-type play out there, and that could be Faried.
All right, Andrew, this is the Jackal here, and I got a quick question for you. With the draft a little over a month back, and we've talked about Faried, what overall grade do you give the Nuggets on their draft?
I think when I wrote my draft recap, I don't remember. I gave them either an A- or a B+, and I think, you know, a lot of times you grade drafts down the road. You got to see how these guys pan out. I thought the Nuggets, I think I did give them an A- because I felt like they had to trade Raymond Felton. And not because I don't like Raymond Felton, but Ray Felton is going to be a very disgruntled player, and he was on a one-year deal anyway. So to move Felton and get Andre Miller, who even though Andre is long in the tooth, I think Andre has at least one good year in him, to get Andre Miller for Felton, but also pick up Jordan Hamilton, who's our J.R. Smith and Wilson Chandler insurance, I thought was a really astute move by the organization. So I think the Nuggets deserve an A- because it wasn't a particularly good draft, and they were able to pluck two guys that they really wanted without giving up much to do so.
You know, I agree with you, Andrew. I think the Nuggets did a fantastic job taking all things into consideration, their position in the draft and players available at that position. You know, it's time to really get down to it, Andrew. Who do you think is gone and who do you think is going to stay? I'm talking about guys, Kenyon Martin, as you mentioned. I'm talking about guys like J.R. Smith, Wilson Chandler. Who do you see fitting in best, who you want to see stay, and who do you think just needs to let the screen door hit them where the good Lord split them?
Well, Well, I don't think anyone needs to get hit by a screen door. I mean, all the names you mentioned put in some good work here. You know, Kenyon Martin, it's not Kenyon Martin's fault that he signed one of the worst contracts in NBA history. Ugh. That's Kiki Vandeweghe's fault. Okay?
Do you think
that's,
he had a Kiki sex tape?
Yeah, you and I would sign the same contract. And, you know, Kenyon was not the Kenyon that we deserved the first couple of years, but you got to give Kenyon credit. You know, the summer of 2008, he stood up in front of the team in the locker room and said, look, I haven't been healthy, I haven't worked hard, I haven't conditioned, and I'm going to starting today. And he has since that moment. So I don't think Kenyon Martin's coming back, but I am going to be a little sorry to see him go. I just don't think he'll be back. I think a team like Dallas, where he's from, will overpay a little bit for him, and given Kenyon's injury risk, and frankly, he doesn't do a lot offensively, it's probably tough to justify bringing him back when this new hard salary cap comes along. I think Wilson Chandler, there's a good chance he's going to come back. I think he's a restricted free agent. I think we'll match it. I'd put that at about a 65-75% chance that Wilson Chandler comes back.
Okay.
Aaron Aflalo is 100% going to come back. He is George Karl's favorite player, and I know he will come back. They will match, you know, whatever contract Aflalo gets, and they should. He's really the only true two-guard that we have other than Gary Forbes, who I also hope will be coming back.
Now, let me cut you off. Do you think Gary Forbes should come back before J.R. Smith?
No, I'd rather see J.R. come back, and you guys won't believe this, but George actually wouldn't mind seeing J.R. come back.
Really?
The problem, yes, you heard it here first. The problem is that J.R. Smith is going to get overpaid, and he'll probably get overpaid by New Jersey or Cleveland or somebody that really needs that two-guard. And that's why JR won't come back. But it won't be because the Nuggets don't want him. I believe the organization and our head coach actually do want him back.
Yeah, see, because it's my contention, Andrew, that JR Smith is the one guy still left on this roster who is honestly a good shot to be an all-star looking at the roster and knowing that Nene is gone, Carmelo obviously flew town. I think that this guy, given, you know, a lion's share of the offensive responsibilities, is a guy who can average 20 points, and I don't see that up and down our roster. Would you agree?
We have one other guy that can go for 20, and that's Danilo Gallinari. But he can't create his own shot like JR can, and you know, Danilo is he's more of an outside player. He's kind of like his countryman. He's kind of like Andrea Bargnani in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But JR, I'm just telling you, the organization and George, they want JR back. And it's just the problem is he's going to get overpaid. I think Nene is going to come back. I think Nene is going to have a reality check. I think he's going to see that on the other side of this collective bargaining agreement, no one's willing to give him $50 million over 4 years. And you know what? The Nuggets may not be willing to either after all this. I think Nene made a huge mistake, but I think that given that Nene's wife is from Colorado is a huge plus, and he has a good relationship with George, as I understand it, so I do think Nene will be back. So I look for Nene, Aaron Aflalo, Wilson Chandler to all be back. I'm less enthusiastic about J.R. Smith, and Kenyon I don't think will be back.
Okay. Our front line obviously has some questions, looming questions on it. We don't know if Kufus can come in and give us any meaningful minutes. Mozgov is still a work in progress. Is there a big name, big man? Maybe not big name, but is there a big man who's out there right now in free agency? With all this being said, obviously there's no CBA in place, and we don't know if we're even going to have basketball, but I want you to scour the landscape, Andrew. Tell me, is there a big name, big man out there that could potentially land in Denver? And be realistic with us. Don't tell us Dwight Howard.
Yeah, no, I love that. We'll write commentary at Denver Stiffs, and then a lot of the readers say, why can't we get Dwight Howard?
No, because he doesn't want to come here. Don't be a stiff.
You know, there aren't a lot of big men out there in this free agent pool. You know, I can't imagine Tyson Chandler being here. I just think he's going to stay in Dallas. I just don't see how he leaves a championship team to come to Denver. Another big name that myself, Mark Kisla, a lot of people that follow the Nuggets have been salivating over for years would be Marc Gasol. I would love to get Marc Gasol here, but he's a restricted free agent, so I can't imagine Memphis letting him walk for nothing. But I think they should take a shot at Marc Gasol. I think it's worth it. As far as other big men out there, I just don't know, you know, who's, you know, Sam, do we want Sam Dallenberg? I mean, there's just not anyone out there that I get really excited about. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm excited about Mozgov, Dene, and Gallinari. And then when you've got Birdman backing them up and Fareed backing them up, I don't know why we would need to overspend to bring in a big man.
Okay. Well, you know, Andrew, I'm going to switch gears with you. We've been talking about the big men, it seems like, a whole lot here. It's my contention that Ty Lawson is not the direction we need to be going at point guard, and a lot of people are probably jumping out of their chair. 303-297-1510 if you're stuck in traffic and you just, you know, wanted to scream out the window. I'm the pundit, Nick Sclafani. Call in and argue with us. Andrew Feinstein is with us. He's also with us, a Denver Nuggets expert, denverstiffs.com. But back to the pressing issue at hand, I don't think Lawson's the direction we need to go. I think he's a small guard. I think he's a little bit of a novelty guard. Defend him, jump on board with me. I still think that we need to get a legitimate point guard in here, and it upsets me that Raymond Felton was dealt. Andrew, can you defend Lawson, or do you agree with me?
I agree with you, and I've taken a lot of heat for saying the exact same thing. I love Ty Lawson as a backup point guard. I think he's our J.J. Barea, and he's a change of pace, and he's a pest, and he's a terrific backup point guard, and I think he's an adequate starting point guard, but I don't think you're going to win a championship with Ty Lawson as your starting point guard, but I also don't think the Nuggets will win a championship in my lifetime, so those are two separate things, but I don't know what point guard you get, and I actually did think when we got Ray Felton, I wanted Ray Felton to be the starter. I felt like you start Ray Felton, you bring Lawson off the bench, and for whatever reason, the Nuggets went in the opposite direction. I have talked to people who work with the Nuggets. I've talked to George about it. They're much more bullish on Lawson than you or I are, Nick. So you have to assume they know more than us. But I'm not enamored with Lawson as a starting point guard either. But I do think Felton had to go because he was not going to be happy here as a backup.
Okay. Well, we got a couple minutes left here before we go to break. Let's get Paul on the line. Paul, you're talking with Pro and Pundit Nick Sclafani, Andrew Feinstein, and, of course, the Jackal. What's on your mind? Do you want to talk a little Nuggets?
Yeah, I just got a couple questions, comments, and then you guys just talk about it. One, I've heard that Wilson Chandler actually hates Denver, and it sort of showed in his play. He was pretty lackadaisical a lot of times during games. So if you talk about that, because you keep saying that you think he's going to come back. So, Kufus. When I saw him in college, I actually feel like he's a very legit big man. I don't understand why everyone keeps writing him off. So if you have some insight whether the coaching staff actually likes his game or if he's just not pulling it in practices and off-season workouts, talk about that. And also, I know you guys already talked about baseball, but about the Jimenez trade, this is a comment. Why are we trading a proven commodity for prospects that we have no idea if they're going to really pan out? He's coming in cheap. We have years left on his contract, and I thought we could have gone even more next year.
Good questions, Paul. We're going to have to go to break. We've still got Andrew Feinstein on the line. He's going to stick around with us for another segment. We're going to handle a little business, come right back. We're going to talk about the rest of these questions that Paul posed and a little bit more with the Denver Nuggets. You've been listening to Pro and the Pundit. Come on back, Denver. Still a lot to learn. And with us still, out of the grace of God, your Denver Nuggets chosen blogger, Andrew Feinstein. Andrew, say hello to the public.
Hello, public. It's always good to be on My High Sports Radio, too. I'm good friends with all the guys over there, and you guys are doing a great job. So always fun to be with you guys.
Thank you very much, Andrew. That means a lot to us. Well, let's just jump right into it. We had a caller, Paul, right before we had to go to break. We're going to glaze over the Ubaldo question. Baseball's really not on the slate right now. But, you know, Andrew, talk to us a little bit about what Paul questioned of Wilson Chandler wanting to be in Denver, being happy in Denver. Do you know anything on that front?
I don't know. I heard rumors that, you know, he really misses being back east. And, you know, it's hard to go from New York to Denver. I'm a fifth-generation Denverite. I love it here. I chose to move back here after living in Los Angeles for a while. But it's tough to top New York when you're a professional athlete. And even though the Knicks are a disaster and their owner is a joke and their barn is rusting and falling apart, there's nothing quite like playing in New York, and I was always concerned about Wilson Chandler and Gallinari more specifically about how they would adjust here. And I did hear that Wilson wasn't 100% happy here, but you know, a new contract can change that.
Okay, and, you know, Paul also wanted to speak to the effect of Costa Kufis being a little bit of a lethargic big man. From what I've seen, which hasn't been much, I know we haven't seen a lot of tape on Costa, but from what I've seen, I mean, he seems to be adequately fit to score around the basket, and from a defensive standpoint, I mean, the man is 7 foot. He takes up a lot of space. He's a big body. Andrew, is there anything else that you can add on Kufis as far as being lethargic? I don't see it, but Paul wanted to know more about it, and I'm sure others around the metro area do too.
I don't think lethargic is the right word. I think having two left feet might be the right word for Costa Kufis.
Fred Astaire, he's not.
What I've heard from the coaching staff of the Nuggets is he is, like, other than Aaron Aflalo, he may be the best practice player that they've got. And he works really hard, and he kicks butt in practice. I love his enthusiasm. I love the fact that he drove here from Minneapolis as soon as he was traded because he didn't want to miss a practice. And his attitude's in the right place. He seems like a great kid. I just don't think he has the natural basketball gifts to be a starter in this league or play meaningful minutes. But can he come in and spare a better big man for, you know, 5 to 7 minutes, maybe 10 minutes a game? Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's get right down to brass tacks. If you're just joining us, that's the voice of Andrew Feinstein of www.denverstiffs.com, the hottest NBA Denver Nuggets blog going on the blogosphere right now. Yes, that's right, the internets. Thanks, Al Gore. Brass tacks here, Andrew. The Denver Nuggets now have the cheapest payroll in the NBA, assuming that there still is a basketball federation called the NBA. Do you think this team is in a shutdown mode looking to gain draft picks and perhaps rebuild, or are we still a team that can, you know, be essentially penciled into the playoffs as we have the last 8-9 years going back?
I don't think what happened to the Avalanche is going to happen to the Nuggets. I know there's a lot of fear out there. I see it with the commenters at our site that the Nuggets are going to go the way of the Avalanche and have this super cheap payroll. I know Stan Kroenke, I know Josh Kroenke, but that's not going to happen. These are basketball guys, and the Nuggets will be competitive. Now, they're not going to overpay, though. I think that we've learned our lessons from, you know, the Kenyon Martin contracts of the past, and even Allen Iverson. You know, I don't think they're going to put a premium on, you know, big-time names and big-time talent. I think the premium is going to be on character and character guys, and, you know, Fareed resembles that. I think Chandler and Gallinari and Mozgov are also high character guys, and that's the direction that we're going. And you can win with high character guys, and you can make the playoffs with high character guys. The problem is the Nuggets are in this really tough spot, and I wrote about this a lot as the Melo trade neared, and that is, yeah, we dumped a guy who's a star, and yes, we brought back a lot of good players, but we don't have a great player now. And I don't know how the Nuggets make the leap from where they are today to a championship contender, but I expect them to be a playoff contender, and I think your listeners should as well.
Now, Andrew, having said that, with you think the Nuggets aren't going to be irrelevant and they're going to try and stay a playoff team, do you think a lot of that has to do with George Karl coming back? And he just doesn't seem like a coach that would want to rebuild. Do you think his being here has a lot of influence on that?
Well, I think, you know, re-signing George, first of all, was the right thing to do. I mean, George has done a great job here. I mean, his playoff record leaves, you know, quite a bit to be desired other than the 2009 conference finals run. But regular season-wise, I mean, did anyone do a better job than George Karl last year? I mean, what he had to go through, never mind the fact that he was recovering from cancer himself, but what he had to go through managing that Melo situation and then incorporating all these youngsters and winning 50 games was one of the best regular season coaching jobs we've seen in franchise history. And they did the right thing by re-signing George. And I think that from an organization perspective, no, they would not have signed George if they didn't expect to be competitive. That being said, George will coach anybody. George has told me himself that I'll coach any team you give me. He's not like Phil Jackson, who has to have talent. So if you cut the team and give them a bunch of youngsters to work with and they only win 25 games, I know George will coach that team.
Now, I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, we saw how important George Karl was 2 years ago when he had to take time off to treat his cancer, and they basically went into the tank with Adrian Dantley, and I don't think many people could disagree with that, but that just showed what kind of coach George Karl is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that George had to get sick to kind of show that to a lot of fans. I mean, I obviously I'm a well-known George critic from the past, but I was a big cheerleader of George in 2008, 2009. Remember, we lost Marcus Camby. They traded Allen Iverson. A lot of people thought the Nuggets weren't going to make the playoffs that year. And instead, they ended up in the conference finals. And then they come back. Before George got sick in 2009, 2010, we were on the heels of the Lakers. And then they imploded under Adrian Dantley. To lose to Utah when we had home court advantage and they were injured and we weren't was pretty inexcusable. And then what George turned in last year was a great effort. So I'm glad George is here for the next few years. I think he's the right fit for these guys. And I know he's really excited to coach these guys.
So if you're an NBA free agent, a big-name free agent at that, how do you sell this team to a potential signee that we are, in fact, moving in the right direction? Clearly, we have money to spend. If I want you to put on your Josh Kroenke hat here, Andrew, if you will, and sell this team to a potential free agent, because as of right now, looking at it, and maybe I'm being pessimistic, I just don't see this team being competitive in the division, in the conference, overall.
Well, I see us being competitive, and I think the problem is there's no one to really sell it to. You know, the biggest name free agent is going to be either, I don't know, David West maybe, or Chandler, or the other name is escaping me now, Marc Gasol. I mean, there's not big names this summer as far as free agents. So, but if there were free agents, I think what you sell them on is we're going to run. I mean, the Nuggets are going to run, and it's going to be an up-and-down basketball style. It's going to be 110-point games. It's going to be a lot of fun, and there's a lot of freedom. You know, George gives his players a lot of freedom, and I think that's a big selling point for these guys, and I think that's what you'd have to sell them on, is you get to play for a coach that lets you play the way you want to play. He's got kind of a loosey-goosey system, which certainly infuriates fans such as myself sometimes, but I think that's what you sell them on, is the freedom to play the game. And it's not that East Coast, grinded-out, half-court basketball. And hey, you get to live in Denver. You don't have to live in Detroit.
Biggest fears with this team, Andrew? I'm picking your brain here because I think that you've given us a lot of good information. Put on your doomsday hat now with the Denver Nuggets. How bad could this team be if, you know, the stars don't align? Because, you know, once again, I'm being pessimistic, but I'm looking at this team. I'm looking at this roster. Andre Miller, you know, glaring problems there offensively. Al Harrington, in my opinion, was overpaid when we brought him in as our mellow clause. Chris Anderson hasn't really panned out once he got paid. Danilo, question marks. Mozgov, question marks. Wilson Chandler, who knows if he wants to be here. Thanks for the call, Paul. I appreciate it. You know, Aaron Aflalo, as we know, is a consummate professional. But I'm just looking at this team, and despite Bill Hanslick coming back and taking the reins, I mean, I honestly see a 32 to a 33 win team max, and I see us, you know, fighting with the Timberwolves for the scraps in the Northwest Division. I'm not sure that it's there. Andrew, you know, before we leave, is there anything you want to say about Denver Stiffs, the Nuggets in general? This is your time to self-promote, brother. Go for it.
Well, basically, Denver Stiffs is the largest online Nuggets community for the fans. And I write it with Nate Timmons, Jeff Morton, and we actually have an in-house statistician now named Chris Chan. And so there's four of us that contribute to the site. But what makes Denver Stiffs special is anybody can contribute to the site. And your listeners can go on tomorrow and write an article, and they can write their own doomsday scenario if they want. So I would encourage people to become a member of the site. And then we have a couple Nuggets parties. And, Nick, you better be at the next one.
I will, I promise.
Together and we'll watch a game. And at the last party, Masai Ujiri and Josh Kroenke showed up. So you never know who's going to be there.
Well, that's Andrew Feinstein, for those just tuning in, author there at DenverStiffs.com. As he said, the best, the biggest Nuggets blog rolling. Andrew, it's been a complete pleasure to have you on Pro and the Pundit. Anytime you want to come on, you know how to get a hold of me. I'll be getting a hold of you. Just good stuff, Andrew. I really appreciate you coming on.
Nick, it's always a pleasure, and enjoy your Sunday.